Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 8.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's me, your host, Eric Cacciatore. I have a great show for you today, but before I dive into the content, I just wanted to have a moment of transparency with you. I have a feeling there's going to be some critics out there that are going to question my authority and my credibility, and I just want to be completely honest with everyone from the beginning that I am a student of hospitality, and this whole podcast, the mission of this podcast is for me to go out there and just learn more. I value my education, but I know the true lessons come from listening to the people who are out there living the life that I'm in pursuit of. And while I may just be a student, the people I'm interviewing, they know their stuff. So I would listen to them and just grow with me. And it's not just for students, this podcast. It's for everyone who is looking to learn. Learning is a never-ending process. Personal growth and development should be something you're constantly striving for. I just figured I would record it all. I know there's going to be some incredible lessons, and I didn't want to be the only person to experience this. So I'm just bringing you aboard and making you a part of it because I know that you'll benefit, and I just want to share the love. So I hope you have been enjoying it so far. I know I have, and we have a great show for you today. Here it is. Today's guest studied at Johnson & Wales and has held two Chef de Cuisine titles prior to embodying his now role as executive chef at the Black Birch in Kittery, Maine. The Black Birch is a gastropub-style eatery which specializes in providing classic comfort foods that are also farm-to-fork friendly. The Black Birch has been described as perfection on all levels. With absolute excitement, please allow me to introduce Jake Smith.
Thank you, Eric. I could not have put that any better.
did I miss anything that you'd like to add? Jake Smith is kind of a common name, so I had some trouble trying to look you up. There's a lot of Jake Smiths out there.
I try to use my middle initial when I can.
Yeah.
But no, I think you hit it on the head, and we're just, you know, doing what we love to do, and it reflects in our food and our service.
Awesome.
Great. We're having good times.
All right, so are you ready to drop some invaluable advice on our listeners to make their restaurant dreams unstoppable?
Absolutely. I hope I can help.
I'm sure you will. Share with us one success or leadership quote and how you apply it at your restaurant.
Well, for me, I don't have a quote per se, but I have, you know, something that I like to have everyone follow, and that is what's very important to me is one, confidence, and also two is technique. And I think that if you have a confidence in yourself and your abilities, you can do anything that you put your mind to, and technique is, for me, number one of importance, because if you follow a certain recipe and a technique, the outcome will always be successful. And it's important to me not to cut corners and not to, you know, we get busy and sometimes we try to do things on the fly, you know, but yeah. I think it's important to give the love to the food. Give it the technique and the time it needs.
Awesome. Great. Thank you for that. So we're going to jump right into the next question here, which is, what is your it factor? Smells, taste, views, and sounds. What are the general experiences, vibes, and ambiances that make your restaurant stand apart from others?
Well, Eric, I think for us, it's the overall vibe of the Black Birch. I think from the minute that you walk in the door, you get this heartbeat, if you will, or this pulse that comes from the nostalgic record player that's behind the bar. And we constantly have vinyl spinning, which I think in its own is just awesome.
I read that. Yeah, that is a real unique touch that you don't see very often. So any little thing that can, you know, set you apart is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and you get that vibe when you walk in the door. The greetings, the smiles, the recognition. You might be only your second time in there, and we're so small and community-oriented that we will recognize you and say, it's nice to see you again. Welcome back to our restaurant. We're very happy to have you here. And that, like, overall sense of community that we have also with a community table, and our dining room is set up so the tables are fairly close to each other, and, you know, you have to be willing to talk to your neighbor. People are happy to do that. People get to meet other people, and it's just a fun experience overall.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I wrote down the word community. I like to do some background check, so when I interview my guests, I am able to have a good conversation with them. And this one word just kept coming back to me whenever I was looking at your Facebook page and your blog, and it was the word community. I knew it was going to come up somewhere in this conversation. And you see it, like, right away. When you walk in, you have this huge wooden communal table right in the middle of your dining room. It runs parallel with your huge bar. But you just instantly get that feeling of community. And it's not just in your restaurant. You see it on your Facebook account. And one thing that really struck me as impressive was the sense of community. You recently, on Facebook, I saw that you guys congratulated another restaurant, which is, you know, right, not in your town, but relatively, you know, speaking in your community, Matt Lewis from Moxie. And that just goes in the public's eye when they see one restaurant communicating with another restaurant and working together. It just really instills that sense of community, and it really makes them, you know, it's a humbling opportunity for you guys, and being humble is extremely powerful in the eye of the community. So it's respectful too, so that's great.
I totally agree. And, you know, not to go off on a side tangent here, but just to add to that community, you know, I'm not from the area, so I've worked in Boston, I've worked in Washington DC for a while. Nothing compares to the community of chefs and farmers and just the people in the area that work together and are working, are trying to help each other and better each other and not working against each other. And it's a great feeling to have.
That's so true. I couldn't agree more with that comment. Just in the month of March alone, you guys also mentioned the farms in your community, the local bookstore in your community, art galleries in your community. Again, I mentioned Matt Lewis of Moxie in your community. And that's just today's, we're recording this on March 9th. And that's in the past 9 days, how you're engaging and interacting with your community. And that's one thing that stood apart for me when I was looking at your restaurant. So that is definitely a huge it factor, which I'm sure is having monumental influence on your success. So congratulations on that.
Social media is, especially like Facebook, is something that is a huge resource for us. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, I'm sure we'll get back into that in one of the later questions. But to stay with the flow here, let's get into the next question, which is challenges. Share with us one current challenge. How are you overcoming it?
Well, I'm not sure we're overcoming it, but I can tell you a challenge that we've had since the day we opened. And, you know, I'm very humbled by this, and it's the fact that we have a very long wait in our restaurant. We don't take reservations. It's, you know, we seat as you come. Given the size of our restaurant, larger parties are very, very hard to get sat in a timely fashion. We're able to push some tables together and move some things around, but, you know, in a small restaurant, it's been a challenge. So it's basically how to keep the guest happy while they're waiting. I know that when I go out to eat or go to do something, I can be impatient myself. So I'm asking a lot of a guest that comes in when I know personally I'd have a tough time waiting, say, an hour, you know?
Yeah.
And, but people do wait. And, you know, what we try to do to alleviate that, and, you know, from the moment people walk in, we make them feel happy and comfortable. We greet them with – we take a drink order. We have a waiting area. There's an art gallery next door, which really helps out because that's another communal kind of thing for us. And they can walk around and, you know, kind of not think of the time they're waiting. Also, for me personally, menu development. You know, I have to create a menu that's not going to take – it's not going to be too technical in the sense of time, you know, of how long it takes to get the food out. And if I can put my – you know, chip in my piece to make it speed up the process, you know.
So you could say your biggest challenge now is trying to accommodate those – individuals who have to wait for your services because of the high demand your restaurant is experiencing, and you're overcoming those challenges by providing entertainment like the art gallery while they wait, and by creating a menu that is time conscious so your customers aren't waiting as long.
Without compromising the dishes and without compromising what we're doing. Absolutely.
Awesome. Leadership. Let's talk about leadership. How important is leadership in the restaurant industry, and how do you guys lead over at the Black Birch?
Yeah, I think in my experience, I did my apprenticeship in Washington, D.C., and I have to say that I was fortunate to work in a kitchen that was sort of old school in the sense that it was very militant. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be a special person to work in those that kind of environment, because it is harsh, and it's all in a sense you feel like sometimes it's leadership by fear, you know. And it's certainly I took a lot away from that. It was kind of like, you know, break you down, and then build you back up just like the military. And I think I'm a better chef for it. However, I don't think it's the best way to run a kitchen these days. For me, I always struggle with the line between leadership and friendship and how to distinguish that line, because we are such a small kitchen and such a small restaurant. We're basically family. We Yeah. spend more time with each other. We are a small family, and it's tough because I am the leader, and I need Yeah. to – you know, it needs to be distinguished, and I struggle with that from time to time.
Yeah. I don't know if you had the pleasure of reading Back of the House. It's a book that kind of follows Chef Tony Moss on Craigie on Main, or the restaurant Craigie on Main. The author is Scott Haas, and he actually uses that example of a kitchen kind of being like a military. You have people in uniform hustling, running around, and, you know, Yes, chef, you know, that kind of like very intense atmosphere. But then again, at the same time, you can't always be breathing down people's necks. It is a family, and there is a support and a comfort that you need to give to your employees as well. Some things I found here about, you know, you personally as being a leader that your partners had to say about you. They had to write, Jake is a leader in the kitchen, a role model behind the line, and just about anywhere in the house. Jake brings an immeasurable energy. He is driven, is almost always in good spirits, is passionate about food and cooking it, and is contagious. And contagious is the big word that stands out to me there, especially when you're in good spirits. You might not realize that you're a great leader, but the fact that you're constantly in good spirits and passionate, that sets the level of energy. And if the leader is like that, you know, your employees and your inner guests are just going to follow in your footsteps. And I don't know if you realize how important that is, but I think that is one thing about you, if you haven't realized it, that probably contributes to the success you've had in your career. So congratulations for having that quality.
Thank you. I would have to agree that I do try to keep it a fun environment. I try to, you know, keep it all positive, and I treat everyone with respect, you know, and I think every part of our team and every part of our restaurant, every person has a job but is just as important as the next person. So
absolutely. And I just want to share one more quote I found that Joe Riccio wrote. Yes, it says, despite the relentless onslaught of customers that have continued to pour into the restaurant for the past few hours, service remains calm and friendly. The mark of seasoned professionals who understand just how little gets accomplished in the frazzled, hopeless state of stress that those in the business call being in the weeds. And I think that's another thing that you guys, that contributes to your success. You see people, when it gets busy, just, you know, freaking out. And the best thing you can do in a situation like that is say, you know what, it's busy. Getting crazy and stressed out isn't going to make this service go any better. The best thing you can do in those situations, yes, work hard, hustle, but just have that frame of mind is to just keep going steady. If you start getting crazy, you're going to start making mistakes and people are going to be unhappy. You just need to keep your cool about yourself and know that you're going to get through the night. Take it one customer at a time and just have a level head. And I love that he pointed that out about you guys there at the Black Birch.
Joe Riccio is amazing, and he's spot on with that. And I've always been a firm believer, like, never let them see you sweat. It's like, once you give someone a reason to, they see that you're in the weeds, or like it looks like you can't handle because you're wide-eyed or something, and you're just running around with your head cut off. You gotta keep that confidence, that I talked about. Keep that confidence, and
especially in that open kitchen concept too. When you're on display like that, you have to just be a pro. You have to knock it out of the park. There's no, you don't have the closed doors to lose your cool. You have, and that's part of the. Oh,
yep. Although I think, the guests might be entertained for a half. when you do something.
Yeah. I guess that's part of it.
And sometimes, man, you just gotta, bang a pan or something, and it just makes you feel good for that second.
I hear you. Oh, it's awesome. Let's jump into the next question now. What is your definition of success in the restaurant industry? What habits does your restaurant have that contribute to this success?
Success for me is just that, seeing that smile on someone's face, or like they're, because we are that open kitchen, we often get a guest that comes up to us and says, everything was wonderful tonight. Thank you so much. And that right there makes my entire evening, my entire week, my entire everything, and tells me that everything that we've been trying to accomplish, we accomplished it.
Yeah. I love this question, Jake, because it's one of the reasons why I put this down, is because I know that you can't get into this industry if your idea of success, if you're just chasing the dollar, you're going to be miserable. And it takes a special person, someone who's truly passionate about hospitality, somebody who they live to make people happy. And you just said it, by your definition of success is seeing a smile on someone's face. That is your payment. That is what gets you up in the morning and keeps you going at 80 hours a week. I love this question because I just love the answers that have been coming out of my guest mouths thus far. I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you want to add anything on to that?
Well, no, I keep using last night because it's the freshest memory of a dinner service. But last night, for example, just me and my sous chef, Sky, who is amazing, we look out into the dining room from time to time, mm-hmm. and see people's reaction to the food that comes out in front of them when they're eating it. And maybe they look and make eye contact with us and give us a thumbs up or something. And that just like sets our, it just sets us off. And then like seeing somebody, kind of dancing or singing the words to the record that's playing, that's making everyone happy, and it's just awesome. Feeling,
I'm sure it is. And I'm envious of that feeling. Hopefully someday I'll be able to experience it myself.
Yeah. So it's great.
All right. So we're going to jump right into what I like to call on the fly, which is a speed round. Are you ready to rock and roll?
Yes, I am. I will. Speedy.
Awesome. So the first question is, share with us one hiring tip or tool.
A hiring tool that I use personally, and I think a lot of chefs use, is it's called stage or trailing. And what it is basically after the initial interview with a potential candidate for the kitchen, we ask them to come in for any time period. I usually like to keep it for an hour minimum, but as long as they want to be a part of it, of the kitchen. And what it does is allows us in the kitchen, chefs, to see what kind of skill set they have firsthand. Mm-hmm. It's not just on paper. Like, we're actually putting a tool in their hand and giving them a couple of recipes to follow, or a couple of mindless tasks even. And it gives the candidate a sense to see what we're doing and if they like what we're doing. Because you can talk about it all day long, but until you actually get in there and see how small our kitchen is, and see how a lack of prep space that we have, but how well we all work together, and the quality of food, and it's just in that 1 hour or so, I think both parties can tell a lot about each other.
Awesome. And it's important that you point out that you're not interviewing them only, they're also interviewing you. And it has to be a two-way street of happiness there, so that's good.
Some of the, you know, during the interview process, something that was always asked of me that I like to ask my interviewer is how to make a hollandaise sauce. And I feel that it's one of those, it's kind of simple, but it's technical. And it's a basic, it's a mother sauce, and it's pretty basic, but I think it gives you an idea of what kind of training, just in a conversation, that someone has. And if they can describe how to make a hollandaise sauce from start to finish.
Awesome. That's great advice. We'll add it to the pot. Once you find these employees, what are some of the creative incentives that you provide to keep them as valuable team members?
I think by letting them be creative and be a part of what we're doing day to day. I have a cook that I give him creative freedom on desserts. And, of course, I'm there to guide him every step of the way. But I think for him, it gets his juices flowing, and he feels like he's a part of our success, you know. And it's not just me as a chef telling you, I need this done, I need to make this, do this, and it has to be done this way. And, I mean, that's part of it too, but, you know,
yeah.
We're all smart, we're all trained, and we all work together. And
I believe, it's funny, I was just reading, I don't know if you picked up this book yet, yep. Restaurant Owners Uncorked. It's a book put out by Schedule Fly that I'm reading right now. And one of the owners had mentioned yesterday that you have to make your employees feel like they're part of the domain. They have to be a part of the success. And if they feel like their contribution is a part of the success, I believe it was Scott Maitland of Top of the Hill Restaurant and Brewery that said this.
You know, at one point in my career, a chef said to me that, or I overheard a chef say this to someone in the kitchen, we don't pay you to think. I had a problem with that, you know, and I told myself I would never use that term. And you know what? Everyone needs to think and use what their training. I think we all learn from each other. Everyone's worked for somebody down the road and picked up a tip or a trick or have a good idea.
Exactly.
And we talk about it. And we bring it. It's an open forum in our kitchen.
My background is in aviation, and the way we're taught and working in that crew environment, which is what a restaurant is really, is a crew environment. It's called the challenge and response environment. As a first officer, it's your job. You go through the training, you have the qualifications, you need to challenge the captain. In this case, if you're the sous chef, you need to challenge the chef sometimes and say, I don't know if that's right. It's your responsibility and to challenge them every now and again. Say if there's an allergy, you know, and somebody, you notice that ingredient was not left out, you need to step up and say something, and you need to create an environment where you know, the people that work with you feel confident and comfortable enough to come up and say, hey, I don't know if that's right, we should double check it. You know, constantly instilling fear in your workers, then that's how bad things happen. So that's great advice.
Sure.
Happy that you pointed that out. So the next question I have for you is marketing tactics and tools. What has been working for you? Can you share a practice that has shown results?
Absolutely. I think we touched a little bit on it earlier, but getting back to Facebook and social media, that has been probably our number one marketing tool since the day we opened, before we opened. We got people excited about what we wanted to do. We had a bunch of followers on the page and kept people posted on what was to come and how far we've gotten today and mm-hmm. what we're hoping for tomorrow. And now we just we get on there and we post, you know, we have 24 beers on tap, which are constantly changing. And we can, as frequently as we want, get people excited about the new beer list. And, you know, if we're running a special that night and, you know, when the snowstorm hits and everybody's closed in town, we say, come on down, we're open, you know. And
awesome.
It's a good tool. People get it on their handhelds now, so it's almost instant. And
you couldn't put it better. And it's crazy. A lot of people in the restaurant industry who aren't really familiar with social media and they don't use it personally, or they do use it personally, and they don't know how to handle their restaurant account. What I always say is, you know, just if you have two Facebook accounts, one for you, one for your restaurant, you're doing something wrong, because you are your restaurant. You need to throw away all other aliases on social media and just embody your restaurant, and then just engage with your friends that you have, that you would have normally on your own Facebook page, and just bring them into your restaurant and be the Black Birch on Facebook. And just
interact with them like you would if you were using your personal Facebook page. And you guys do that. You're engaging with your community. You're talking to other people. You're posting on other people's accounts. You embody the Black Birch. Like, the Black Birch is your Facebook page, like your life. And it's you.
It's true.
And that's what you have to do. You really can't have work in your personal life and your work life. You really have to make it one. And that's what you guys do. And that's the best advice I have for social media as far as how to, you know, plan and what kind of strategy to use. Just be yourself. And
yeah, absolutely. I think having that one Facebook page and being your restaurant, I think that is great advice.
Yep.
You know, there's other tools that we've used. You know, Facebook has been number one, but, you know, We provide, you know, discounts in the restaurant, and, you know, we've done things on trade, you know, working with our local farmers and other professionals in the community. We appreciate them, you know, and respect them, and I think we try to do a little bit to show that, you know.
And really the best thing you can do to market your restaurant is just to be a part of your community and to engage and be more than just a place to eat. Be the place to gather, to be with your community, and to harvest what it is that's unique about your community. So that's awesome advice. The next question I have for you is, what is one restaurant or business book you'd recommend to our listeners?
Well, the only book that comes to mind right off the top is The Soul of a Chef. And for aspiring chefs and cooks out there, you know, I think it's a good read. It's a Michael Ruhlman. And, you know, there's three aspects of the book, and it goes from, you know, basically showing a chef going through a certified master chef program, and then it shows a chef working at a restaurant, and then it follows the French Laundry. And it's a feel-good book, and I think it's a good read for aspiring chefs.
People that read this book, what's the biggest lesson you think they'll learn reading it?
So I think the French Laundry story is pretty exciting. You know, for me, I just know that the French Laundry started up Thomas Keller, not formally trained, opened a restaurant that in the first year, you know, he had a lot of loans. I'm pretty sure in the first year he broke even. But
it's basically just an opportunity to learn from some of the greats out there and what they've done to be successful. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to take people who are successful and to learn from them just by listening. So. That's a great reason to pick up that book. Next question I have for you is, could you recommend any gadget, service, or tool that has improved your restaurant's profitability, efficiency, productivity, or communication?
I got two things that come to mind here. And, you know, when we first opened, we didn't have much to go on. So we were doing handwritten tickets, you know, and orders. And everything was done by hand, and all the cash was handled and everything. And so, you know, we have a computer system now in the restaurant. And I think for every restaurant out there, it's a no-brainer. You need a computer system, and it just keeps everything in order for you and really simplifies your life in that sense. But equally as important, if not more, which a tool that I've pretty much learned to use in just a year and a half is Google, man, like Gmail. And Google Drive, mm-hmm. and the ability to like share documents I don't know, it's made my life easier because I don't spend time in an office. I have my phone, and that is my office. And so the Google Drive and Gmail have made my life a little easier.
Yeah. Technology, you definitely have to take advantage of technology. And that's one thing we struggle with in this industry is taking advantage of the technology. We always seem to be a little bit behind. So that's great advice. And another, if you like the document sharing, another one is Dropbox. So you should check that out too.
Yeah, I know you use that. And I was interested in checking it out as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great resource. So the last question I have for you is, what is the best restaurant or business advice you've ever received?
Well, best restaurant advice. I think you need to love what you do. I think that, If you truly passionate and you really love what you do day to day, it's going to reflect in your product. It's going to reflect in, you know, everything.
It really has to be your passion. You can't be in this industry unless you're absolutely in love with it. That's absolutely true. So we're going to wrap it up now. You are awesome. All the advice you gave us is advice that can make us all grow personally. So I appreciate that. You were incredible. Before I let you go, I'm going to give you the opportunity to call somebody out. Who is one restaurant professional you admire and believe would be a great addition to our community here at Restaurant Unstoppable?
I would love to give a shout out to a young guy named Gary Kim. And he's been working for me for over a year, maybe a year and a half. And I'd like to think that I've taken him under my wing a little bit. And he is leaving us. And he's going to open a noodle bar down the street.
Awesome.
He's Korean. It's going to be Korean style food with noodles, with ramen noodles and steam buns. And he's just a driven young individual with a big heart. And I think he's going to be successful. And I hope people give him the support he needs. And I'm very happy for him.
Great. All right, Gary, you heard it. You're on my radar. I'll be keeping my eye on you, and hopefully in the future, when you get your place up, popping and rocking, you can be a guest on my show. Give yourself a plug. Where can we find your restaurant and services, and do you have any plans for the future, and how can we connect?
Like I said, we can always connect on Facebook, and Black Birch is located at 2 Government Street in right by the shipyard, and we are 5 days a week, dinner only. We're just happy to meet new people, so, you know, please come down and see us.
Well, Jake, you gave us some incredible advice today that's going to make us all better in the long run. So on behalf of everybody listening, let me thank you. And I know your advice is going to help make some restaurant dreams unstoppable.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Episode 8 is in the bag. Another successful episode. What stood out to me in this episode was the emphasis on community and how they really focus on their community and make that a huge part of their restaurant, especially in their marketing efforts. And what really impressed me about Jake was his ability to lead. And he was really humble about it. It's almost like he didn't realize that he was such a great leader. But through the words of his peers and his partners, you could really tell that he really sets the pace with his positivity and his work ethic. And really, at the end of the day, to be successful, you need to be a great leader. And you lead by example. You lead by setting the tone. And if you set that tone and work incredibly hard every day, the people beneath you will match that effort. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I know I did. And until next time, peace.